Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh, Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win! Ayla's gone! Goodbye, touchdown, Indy!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Welcome to the Indiana Sports Beat Radio here with Jim Coyle. Of course, I am your guest host for Monday, the coach Shannon Griffith. Pleased to be back with you as Jimmy may be stopping by a little bit later, but he asked me to fill in today, and I said, absolutely. And I appreciate y'all being with us here on this Monday, day after the British Open. Scotty Scheffler got it done in dominant fashion. And some are even saying, does he now have the king title of PGA golf replacing Tiger Woods? Good question about all that. But he had a stellar performance there in Ireland. And I believe he finished about a 7-shot winner. But pretty dominant round. Actually, beautiful weather there for the British Open. Never seen it sunny in for that many days. But it was a pretty good round of golf to watch. And Enjoyed watching it on Saturday and Sunday. Must have a pretty little bit of a sad note here to pass along. I'm not sure everyone saw this on Saturday. Bob Hamill, the former Bloomington Herald Times sports editor, passed away at the age of 88. Spent over four decades covering Indiana athletics, covered thousands of plus Indiana football and basketball games. Of course, he's wrote a book with Bob Knight, you know, coach, co-wrote it with Coach Knight, called Knight, My Story, and which made it to the number two slot on the New York Times bestseller list. But he had a profound impact on all those that knew him, were able to learn under him. And it, you know, was a very sad day for those that had a connection to Bob and want to, you know, get that out so that people knew that that had occurred on Saturday. And just a sad day all around. But I know the people that were impacted by his you know, journalism and things of that nature. We're very thankful for those times. So God bless his family and all those that were friends and loved ones of Bob Hamill. Got a good show here coming up today. I'm going to get Greg Rakestraw on here in a little bit. Colts training camp. Rookies are reporting today, vets tomorrow. They're at Grand Park, will be their first practice, will be July the 23rd. So, but it's hardly a time. Football is here. And along with that, you've got the Big Ten Media Day starting tomorrow. But we'll talk to Greg about the Indianapolis Colts and kind of what are some of the storylines coming out of camp. You got Anthony Richardson and his shoulder joint repaired, you know, ready to go, or Daniel Jones the veteran that they brought in for $14 million, is in that competition for the starting job. And then, you know, the biggest thing with Cam with Richardson is healthiness. Can he stay healthy? I mean, that's been a big problem of his through his career, is staying healthy. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Greg as well. And then we'll have Dustin Dvorak coming on as well from the Indianapolis Star. Talk a little bit about the Pacers. Summer League finished up, I believe, on Saturday, as their five-game summer schedule is over. And we'll talk a little bit about that and kind of what now the Pacers are going to do, focus their attention to as it pertains to the 25-26 season. Haliburton is not going to be available due to that Achilles, as well as losing Turner like they did. So we'll talk to Dustin about that some and get a really good idea of that with the Pacers. And of course, if there's time, we'll maybe sneak in some football with him and also get his reflection on Bob Hamill and his work with him back in the Bloomington Herald Times back around 2009, I think, was when he was there. But we'll get an idea from him. And then, of course, we'll have on Zach Browning from thehoosier.com. Over the weekend, the TBT, the basketball tournament, as they say, Assembly Ball had an early exit, was ranked as a region number two. They lost to Fail Harder, 89-76. We'll get Zach's take on that as well. And, of course, he's gearing up for Big Ten Media Days. We'll talk a little bit more about that and all things Indiana football as we gear up for this 2025 season. And again, thanks so much for being here with us today. Also want to thank those sponsors of this show, Andy Moore Honda, of course, down there in the Bloomington area. And of course, the Hard Truth Distillery, where you can get a lot of good bourbon as well. But anyway, yeah, that TBT, the Assembly Ball, I think a lot of people had hoped they would, you know, advance a little further than what they did. And unfortunately, it sounded as if their defense and turnovers really killed them that afternoon. So we'll have to wait and see what all occurs with that. But I know Zach was there and some others from thehoosier.com as they covered that, as well as things that are happening with Indiana basketball and recruiting. And I'm sure Zach can fill us in on that pretty easily. But he will have that for us coming up a little later, as well as Dustin talking about the Pacers, and then Coach Soar shortly, Greg Rakestraw will be with us as well from the Indiana Sports Network and his duties with the Colts as the post game host on the Indianapolis Colts Radio Network. We'll get his take, because it's surprising that the NFL, it caught up on me even, is starting today. And, it's amazing that how long the NFL is, not only in just training camp, but their season is so long. Number of preseason games plus the regular season, it can be a very interesting dynamic in terms of everything associated with all that. But Colts rookies are in today, and their preseason schedule. They will play the Baltimore Ravens on August the 7th. That will be in Baltimore. The Green Bay Packers will visit Lucas Oil on Saturday, August 16th, 1 o'clock kickoff. And then they're at the Cincinnati Bengals, August the 23rd, for a 1 p.m. kickoff. So everything is rolling, fastly approaching. High school football around the corner as well. Big Ten Media Days start tomorrow in Las Vegas. You can catch all that on the Big Ten Network, as well as some coverage that we will have here, I'm sure of, with Jim and Indiana Sports Beat Radio. But all in all, just a action-packed day here at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. We thank you for joining us today, and we thank for all those stations that are with Indiana Sports Beat Radio, such as the home station up here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1380 The Fan, as well as 97.7 in Evansville, The Ref. And then don't forget about up in the region area of Chicago, Hammond, WJOB. Thanks to all those listeners as well joining us here on a bright and sunny and soon to be pretty hot Monday and week here in the state of Indiana. Hopefully we'll have a chance to get Greg Rakestraw here in a few minutes, but until then, we're going to take a little break and we'll be all right back here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio with the coach Shannon Griffith. I hope you're having a great day as everyone else here in the state of Indiana. Of course, we're waiting on Greg Rakestraw to join us here today on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. We talked a little bit about Scotty Scheffler's dominance over in the British Open, as well as several Americans. I didn't know this, but the British Open has not been won by a European player in like 7 years. So it's kind of been a dominant U.S. Tournament over the last 7 years. So that was an interesting aspect of things when it comes to the British Open and the dominance that, you know, American players have had. But Scottie Scheffler's win yesterday was a pretty good lesson in why he's such a great golfer. And once he gets the lead, he very seldom relinquishes it. And you got to be impressed with the mental fortitude that he shows in his golf game and how he plays it. And it's one of those things that if you're a sports fan of any sort, it's great to watch somebody like that in an individual sport just put on a display of execution like Scottie Scheffler did yesterday in the British Open. It's just, you shake your head at some of the things that he's able to do with a golf ball and how he plays the game with a lead, you know, getting it towards the middle of the green, being aggressive when he needs to be aggressive, backing off and doing things that kind of protecting the lead at times, but just truly amazed by his ability as a golfer and the mental fortitude that he shows on the golf course, especially in the majors. I mean, he is just a phenomenal, phenomenal golfer. Talk a little bit about NFL training camp starting today for the Indianapolis Colts. The biggest thing that's going there from a storyline aspect of things, of course, is Anthony Richards and his shoulder. He has been cleared for camp, but he's probably going to be on what we would say a pitch count as they gradually bring him back into the fold. And hopefully that AC joint is something that they can have it under control now. It's something that he's dealt with for the last couple seasons. But it's one of those things. It's just a interesting dynamic there in Indianapolis as we gear for that NFL season. And with just three preseason games, do you get enough to make an evaluation of a quarterback and what he brings to the table? Either it's Anthony or Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, a new scenery for him, may just be what he needs. And I'm sure he'll give plenty of competition. And don't forget about Riley Leonard. Here's a young man out of Notre Dame, and the Colts picked him up. It'll be interesting to see his development. I think he's a good fit for the Shane Steichen offense and what he likes to do. And I'm not saying that he's going to ultimately vault into the QB1 spot, but if for whatever reason Anthony Richardson doesn't get things done, Daniel Jones is not getting things done as well, and we're going through a year of despair, I doubt one bit that they won't look to put Riley Leonard into the fray to get him some battle tested a little as they head into a latter part of this season coming up and into next year. Of course, Ballard and his struggles as the GM there is in the last year of his contract. This is completely his team. There's no leftover Colts from the previous regime. So this is his team that he has assembled through his tenure there in Indianapolis. And so, you got to think that his seat is a little warm now that the passing of Jim Irsay and the daughters taking the reins. I'm sure they will not tolerate a season that is mediocre at best. So, that'd be interesting in the chat to see how many people think that Anthony Richardson will be the guy or should be the guy, or does Daniel Jones, who got a one-year deal, I believe, at $14 million to come in and compete for this job, who do you think will ultimately be QB1 for the Colts after they wrap up the preseason? We can throw it in the chat and see what's going on there to see if anybody has an opinion as it pertains to that as well. But that was one of the big storylines that is upon us, as always, is the QB1 spot is a very hot topic, not just for the Indianapolis Colts, throughout the NFL. I'm sure Pittsburgh will have their battle at quarterback, and there'll be several of those throughout the NFL this year. Now, one thing for the Colts, and this goes for Indiana Hoosiers as well, we've talked about this before, but Indianapolis offensive line has some stability. Colts only gave up seven. They were seventh in fewest sacks allowed last year at 32. Now they lost Will Fries and Ryan Kelly to free agency, but they picked up a fourth round draft pick in Jalen Travis, and they welcome back Braden Smith into the Indianapolis Colts. So it looks as if the offensive line, if they can have stability and stay free from injuries, will provide something for the QB, whoever that may be, and for their running game. I mean, their running game is vitally important to their success overall. Now, you got to talk about defense in this equation. because they did an overall and has a new DC there in Indy. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out in Indianapolis. And everything with that will be a interesting storyline as we head into this next season. With the Colts. Yeah, Riley Leonard, I think, is a very good quarterback. I think he's a guy that with time and repetition, I think he'll do quite well in the NFL over time. I think he's a smart kid, and he can is very, you know, fairly mobile, as we've seen in his Duke days as well as up at Notre Dame. But my guess is that he is going to get some opportunities through camp to see what he can do as well in this quarterback battle, because you got to give him an opportunity to do the things that he can do with everything. And that's going to be a, you know, a key component to him in his development with Indianapolis. But the focus will be Daniel Jones and, of course, Anthony Richardson as we move forward there as it pertains to it. And I've heard reports that everything with Richardson has gone well. He's bulked up. He's 6'4", 244 pounds. He's done a lot of work on his mechanics. That's the one thing that I always thought with AR was, you know, mechanically there were some flaws there that would get him in trouble, especially with the ball sailing on him at times. And he does have, in some respects, a little bit of a touch issue at times. Now, is he past all the issues that he had a year ago where he basically tapped out as asked to be taken out of a game? I mean, that, you know, to me was kind of like, I think we need to sit him down and trade him at that point. You never ask out of a game as a quarterback. You just can't just go to the side. You let the coaches make that decision. But when he did that a year ago, I think he lost a lot of respect amongst his teammates. And I know Steichen wasn't too happy with it, but when you have the number one pick as he was, they had to live with a few things. So, yeah, I think this is a great comment as well, is from Dusty here. Mental toughness, where's it at? And that goes right to the point of his rookie-esque type of behavior, especially when he was tapping out of games and not pushing through some of the struggles that he had. But you're correct, the mental toughness. In that regard. I'm going to try to get Mr. Jimmy Coyle on as we come back here. We'll take a break. He's having trouble logging in, and he will join us by phone. All right, here on the Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Go a team.
Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio here this Monday. And soon to be hot Monday as we gear up for another NFL season that is upon us. But joining us right now via the Indiana Sports Beat Hotline, the one and only Jimmy Coyle. Jim, can you hear me now?
Absolutely, brother. Sorry about having trouble getting in there, and sorry about not being in there all day with you. I'd love to, but I'm participating in a charity outing for our good friend Bob Kravitz, promoting ALS. And so that's where I'm heading today. And last week, we weren't able to be on because we were doing something similar with Dan Dockage for his bicycles for the kids of Indianapolis. And so since that time of the year, man, all kinds of stuff going on. And you mentioned the Colts training camp. Yeah, that's NFL training camp is starting. You also mentioned the Big Ten football media days, which is this week. Starts
tomorrow. What?
Not tomorrow. I think it's the day after tomorrow. But
it's the 22nd. 22nd is is tomorrow.
There you go. I'm a day behind already.
I know.
Zach Browning, Colin McMahon will be out there for the Hoosier.com bringing you all that, which normally I would have been out there. This is the first football media days I've missed since we've been doing the show, but it just would not work out with them being 3 hours behind us. Other than Las Vegas Larry, who is kind enough to join us live all the time. That's too difficult to get the guests on and all of that. But so that's okay. Well, we've got plenty going on because there is a ton. You've already mentioned a lot. This week is also Brickyard Week at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Brickyard 400. And a little bit of excitement I want to talk about. Chase Briscoe. Well, I guess I should have turned my there's some instructions. Let me get my GPS turned off there. That's not helping matters. We don't need that. But
I think we're good.
Chase Briscoe has been having an unbelievable run in NASCAR. And it's the year started the pole at the Daytona 500. And then they won some other poles, but didn't really get the finishes they were looking for. And then you could tell they were getting the speed, but at Pocono, man, he won that thing. He was so fast. That's the car that he's bringing to Indianapolis because they're of similar. Pocono is a triangle. It's wild, but long, flat, straight, long straightaways with flat corners. And that's exactly what Indianapolis is.
Right.
And he's run back to back second place finishes on completely different tracks. I'm going to have him on Thursday. We'll be fortunate enough to have Chase on with us right before things happen. But he went out to Sonoma, which is a road course, and out in California, and Shane Van Gisbergen, the dude that has come over from New Zealand, that is a road course killer. He just is almost unbeatable. He's won three straight. But that was, according to Chase, Sonoma's probably his worst course. But he had a second-place finish to Shane Van Gisbergen. That's like running – right now, that's like finishing second to Scotty Scheffler. I heard you talking about him a little bit ago.
Yeah.
It's like playing in any golf tournament and finishing second to Scotty Scheffler right now. Because that is Shane Van Gisbergen on a road course. But then yesterday, they were at Dover, which is a really difficult mile course. He damn near wins that thing. He was within inches of being able to get out in front of Denny Hamlin at the end of that race and ended up finishing second at that race. He's having a hell of a run. Bringing the Pocono car, like I said, that has got to be a good sign. And can you imagine if the kid from Mitchell, Indiana, is able to win the Brickyard? That would be the coup de grace for him already in a young career that he's had. His hero is Tony Stewart. It's been 20 years since Tony Stewart won that thing, and it's just going to be interesting. I can't wait to get up there to see all that going on. We'll have that for you, which I know it's not everybody's into that, but you know what? You get a local guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
Kids from Mitchell. So, looking forward to that.
The big city of Mitchell.
Oh. But you know what? I call Lawrence County the fastest county in the world. You got three astronauts that didn't land, that all went into outer space. And you've got Chase Briscoe, who has already won the pole for the Daytona 500 this year. So, yeah, fastest county in the state for sure. Maybe the fastest county in the world, for that matter, with three astronauts. So, pretty cool. Just think of that. Those four people, Gus Grissom, I mean, these are some famous Power Sox. Can't think of the other astronaut off the top of my head, but three different astronauts from Lawrence County. Astronauts, man, and a NASCAR driver, a successful NASCAR driver. I cannot wait to talk to Chase when we get him, because I knew that he had been running for his hero, Tony Stewart, and then Tony Stewart just kind of, I think he didn't like the way that NASCAR was going. On top of that, his interest changed to funny cars, sprint cars, and I think his girlfriend, maybe wife now, also runs that. So his interests were starting to wane and go in other directions. But Chase Briscoe, I knew when he landed with Joe Gibbs, I knew that I'm like, oh, man, this is going to work out very well. He got in the car that Martin Truex Jr. was in, who Martin Truex was successful right up until he ended, which that's not usually the case. And just what a great organization they've got going. And it's starting to come together for him.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, that Pocono racetrack, when somebody gets the lead there, it's very difficult to pass. I mean, all the passing on that track is usually down the backstretch if they can get by him, because of the, you know.
Pocono has three just long, it's a triangle with three long straightaways. It's a very, very unique track, but the similarity, like I said, with Indianapolis is those long straightaways with flat corners. Most of the time in oval racing, the corners are banked 24 to 28 degrees, which is a lot. Even Dover yesterday, you couldn't really tell it, but in listening to him talk about coming out of the turn, was like dropping 24 feet down to the bottom of the track. So it's said it was like riding a roller coaster. So there's so many nuances on those tracks that we can't see from the camera, but if you listen. But looking forward to that, man. Looking forward to getting Chase back on. It's been a while, and so we're happy for him and what's going on. And he's got all kinds of stuff going on. Since I talked to him a year ago when he was in Bloomington, I think they've had twins. His sister's getting married on Friday, I believe. So he's got a lot going on. And if he could put a win on top of that, holy moly, what would that be like?
Yeah, it's a busy time. He has to talk to his sister about scheduling weddings right in the middle of the NASCAR season.
Let me tell you, I'm going to bet she scheduled it on that Friday with purpose, because that might be, other than December, which is around Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, that's probably true.
When they don't have racers.
Yeah.
That's it. They're racing the rest of the time. So this is probably, he's going to be in town. So I think that they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Hey, we got, Big Ten Media Days coming up. And, I guess everybody has now got a feel for Mr. Cignetti at the microphone. He actually, I think, kicks off I take that back. He comes on at noon on Tuesday. What do you think of, what do you think the storylines coming out of the Big Ten Media Days may be, a la Indiana?
Number one, they will not be picked second to last.
Probably not.
So that they won't have that to get under Cignetti's skin about. I think that it's Indiana is looked at as one of the teams to look out for. They still don't have, they're not getting the respect of, say, or let's say Michigan.
Right.
Okay, Michigan has got a freshman quarterback. A freshman quarterback, but yet everybody is placing them ahead or in the top four. I'll just say that. Everybody's putting them in the big four of the Big Ten because it's Michigan. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to be interested to see how that freshman quarterback does. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I know he's very good, but Indiana's got a great defense. A lot of these other teams in the Big Ten are going to have good defenses. And a lot of teams have veteran quarterbacks. Indiana for one, Illinois for another, Penn State for another.
Michigan State.
I'm just not sold on Michigan, nor am I sold on Oregon. Not that I doubt Dan Lanning, because he always does it, but they're going to have a new quarterback. Indiana is coming in with pretty solid core of everything. But I think that this time, maybe he is right where he wants to be. He doesn't want the expectations, per se, of being I think he still wants to have that chip on their shoulder. They don't want to be picked in the top four. They want to have something to have that chip on their shoulder about. Oh, you don't respect us. Okay, well, watch this. You know, I've talked about a lot of the national things that I've seen has Illinois in front of Indiana. Yeah, I'm not going to buy that. I think Indiana wins that game when it comes around, but that's okay. I cover Indiana, not Illinois. And as much as I try for no bias, I know more about Indiana, although Illinois is pretty solid on offense. I don't think they're going to have the defense that Indiana is going to have, and that's going to be the key.
Yes.
For a lot of these things, a lot of these games, Indiana had one hell of a defense last year, and I think they're going to have a hell of a defense this year, but I think they're going to have a better offense. And we've already seen ESPN name Fernando Mendoza as Indiana's X factor.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he is an X factor, because I think he is a factor, period.
Yeah. He's gotten a lot of attention, I would say, throughout the better part of the year, coming in from Cal, and the ability to, you know, come into Indiana and be the starter, per se, right away. Of course, joining his brother, Alberto, who will probably more than likely be his backup. I do think ESPN is right. I do think he's the X factor offensively for Indiana. And most scouts are very, very high on him. Arm strength, accuracy, and his mobility are the big three that they're talking about with him. His only thing, and we've talked about this when I've been on the other side of the chain, he has to learn to stay in the pocket. I know he got lambasted last year 42 times in sacks, which gives a quarterback a little bit of happy feet, but if he can learn to hang in and let plays develop, I do think he'll be that much better from that standpoint than he was a year ago at Cal. I just don't think that I do think that with Coach Sig and Shanahan and all the offensive staff and players that he has around him, he just has to go out and run the show and let the game come to him, because he's got so much talent surrounding him. I mean, that's the other thing, Jim. I mean, we talked about this. We're going into a year where Indiana's offensive line may be their best position offensively. And that's crazy that we would say that. Would you feel, I mean, do you feel the same way, that their offensive line may be their best asset offensively?
Well, I want to think that. And I know that Colin McMahon had a piece on the Hoosier.com recently talking about the offensive groups, period, and listing them. And he listed the offensive line. And I have no doubt that it's been so much improved. It's hard to... that's just such a hard question, because until we see them, but it sure seems like they have the pieces. It's the only thing I'm concerned about is depth, or would have any concern about would be depth. We saw what happened last year when Drew Evans went down, and they managed for most of the year, except for when they were up against teams that had a more prolific offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we're going to get. We'll get a great idea of early and often. The first three Big Ten games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be bam, bam, bam. We'll know. And I think that offense is just going to be so good, period, because of a revamped offensive line, but because of a quarterback that has, I don't want to call him a dual threat quarterback,
mm-hmm.
but he can sling the pill, baby. I mean, when you throw for 3,000 yards and all the duress that he was under last year, and I don't know that he had the receivers that he has to throw to this year, with Elijah Surratt and guys like that.
Boyd came with him from Cal, was his leading receiver, I believe, there at Cal. You know, they picked him up via the portal. I mean,
yeah. So it's I think he has more talent. He obviously has Indiana's line last year was better than what he was behind at Cal.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So not only would that have been a jump up for him in and of itself, now you've got an improved line. So I'm just looking forward to watching this offense. It would sure have been nice for Fernando Mendoza. Oh, I can get the thrill going. To have had a year.
You're so ready for back to school. And Staples is making parents' favorite time of year even better.
You there still? Yeah. I have no idea what the heck that was.
Me either. But looking forward to seeing how this offense could be scary. It has everything that is needed. And cannot wait to see how it goes.
Yeah, they do. And they, with the offense, they have a running back room that lends to being a running back dominant kind of a team again with Black. Roman, you got Hemby coming in from Maryland, of course, then BB Jr., who out of the three probably has the best speed of all. I know Hemby can break away, but the best thing those guys do is catch the ball out of the backfield. So Shanahan will have a great opportunity to really expand his offense from a year ago because of what, you know, limitations they had with Curtis and that knee. So it'll be interesting to see what all comes out of the Big Ten. And you said Colin and Zach will be there giving all the coverage. So get over to thehoosier.com, pick up that subscription. Remember, dollar first month, 50% off rest of the year. You get all their coverage there. They do such a great job covering Indiana basketball, football, baseball, you name it. They do a great job there. And of course you get all the On Three stuff. And that is another great resource at your fingertips when you talk college athletics as a whole heading in to this year. And of course, Media Day tomorrow. Yes.
Well, you get actually two and one, actually, because all the former rival national guys are now part of On Three, especially when it comes to recruiting in the football circle. That is where Rivals excelled. On Three really excelling on the basketball side of things. But speaking of which, if you want to get the clips and hear what everything, thehoosier.com is one of those places, that one of those few places you'll be able to find that. And on top of that, just a few weeks after, Indiana men's basketball will be in Puerto Rico, and the Hoosier.com will have highlights from down there. There is no television. Whatever interviews that are available, that will be gotten, not available on television. So make sure you go to thehoosier.com now and sign up. Like I said, it's only $1 for the first month, 50% off for the entire first year. It is your source for Indiana information. There's just no question about that. Those guys like Joe Tipton and Jamie Shaw breaking stories on the, they've broken every basketball recruiting story for Indiana this year. Jamie Shaw was down at the all the EYBL and the 3SSB. We've got complete coverage from that. We're talking about tomorrow when I'm back in the studio.
Yeah, Jim Coyle joining us via the hotline here at Indiana Sports Beat Radio on his way to Bob Kravitz's golf outing. And I hope you brought a nice wet towel and things like that to keep you cool.
Well, let me tell you, I did, but it was raining like the Dickens all the way out. And I'm like, no, come on.
Oh,
but
no.
I think that cleared out. So it'll just be wet, which means hit the greens and they're not going to go anywhere at least, right? But that's a whole different story for me.
Yeah. Well, I know that that outing is near and dear to Bob. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you, and I said at the ending of the beginning of the show, Bob Hamel from the Bloomington's Herald Times, the sports editor, what connections did you have with Bob? Because he was such an iconic figure there at the Herald Times, as well as Indiana in general. He had a huge impact throughout the state.
Yeah, I met him when I was in college. I'm going to try to get Kit Klingelhofer on the show this week. He was the former sports information director for Indiana. He did all sports. Imagine this. Yeah. He did everything. Football, basketball, cross country, whatever the hell. He did it all. Now they have one for every sport. It's crazy. But anyway. He brought Bob in to speak. That was the first time I got to see him and would just say hi to him over the years. You know, he continued to attend all the games, basketball games, and was well known within the state. He my biggest connection, I guess, is uber fortunate to have been asked by the Heisman Foundation to take his spot as a Heisman voter.
Wow.
A year ago. And so really proud of that. But so hopefully I can carry on the tradition that the Bob laid down. And but yeah, it's certainly sad to hear.
Yeah, 88 years old. Of course, he co-wrote the book with Knight, called it Knight, My Story. Number two bestseller at one time. So yeah, he was such a big as life type of guy that, man, he loved
very quiet.
He wrote, I mean, he may write three or four articles each, print, and, he could really tell the story and paint the picture for you. But a sad, sad day.
Well,
Saturday.
Back in a day when, this was back in the day when reporters had more access, but more ability to do certain things. And so, yeah, it's the passing of an era. It's kind of like with Rick Bozich retiring. I mean, he's the last of the old school guys, man.
Yeah. And, you know, that was a time period, like you said, you know, the internet wasn't around for the better part of their careers. You had to actually go physically grab the paper or go to the local libraries that you could in and around the state to read maybe an article or two from the Bloomington Herald Times. And it was just a different era, like you said, than today. Those type of individuals were, you know, the bread and butter of your media coverage of your favorite team, whoever it may be. So
as you mentioned it earlier, the Dustin DePerrick, he was fortunate enough to work with, well, I don't know if he worked with Bob. Bob was already retired, I believe, but because when you work at the Herald, you work with Bob in one way or another, you get to know him. And so he, piece of my car was about to come off. It's nice to knock that down. But yeah, he just so well known by Indiana fans, but, when you do something that long, you're the conduit for people.
Yeah.
And he was the conduit for Indiana basketball fans for a long, long time.
Well, have you made it there to the course yet? I think that's the biggest question.
No, we were close.
You're close.
Had to stop for a little. Had to stop for a splash.
Okay.
Splash and go.
Splash and go.
Little NASCAR term. Little splash and go, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to get make sure yourself you're not only mentally ready, but you're fully awake for these shots that you're going to be responsible for today out on the course.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. I do feel sorry for the people that are, I hope that no one is relying on that.
Well, you know, that's a great cause, and I'm sure Mr. Kravitz is very thankful of your involvement this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. And I'm sure he'll have a great turnout today, as it's for a great cause that he's always been around. So good luck at that today, and hopefully you have a great day, and you'll be back in here raring to go tomorrow.
Absolutely. And if you're around, maybe we'll just get you on as well, so we can just sit there and chit chat about it.
Well, I'm hoping that we get Dustin here on here in a little bit, because I, you know, got a lot of bit pacer talk to talk about, as most of anything. But have a good day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, and hit them straight.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you guys. Y'all have a great day. Take care of my man, Coach.
They're doing it. That's right. They'll keep me honest. We'll see you, partner. Jim Coyle, of course, the star of Indiana Sports Beat Radio, today out for the Bob Kravitz golf outing. And like I said, he asked me to come on again and host, and I was more than happy to do so and be a part of the Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And since moving my stuff to the Hoosier.com, I've had a lot of chances to work with Jimmy. But I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here in a few moments, and we'll have Dustin Dvorak coming on here in a few minutes, right here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle. I am the coach, Shannon Griffith, filling in for Jim today, as we just talked to him on his way up to the Bob Kravitz golf outing. But now we're going to get a chance to text in Dustin Dvorak of the Indy Star. Let's see if I can get this all correct setup-wise. There he is. I did it.
How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing good, Dustin. It's been a always challenge for us old men of these technical nuances that approach us we try to push buttons. And that's always a dangerous thing, pushing buttons. You know, I hope your summer's going well for you. I know you just, you know, a long season with the Pacers and their success. And we'll talk a little bit here in a second about, you know, wrapping up the summer league schedule, 3-2.
Sure.
And, but, you know, I started the show off and, you know, Indiana lost a iconic figure in my mind, I guess I would say, in the media arena. And Bob Hummel there at the Bloomington Herald Times, 88 years old. I know that you were there at the time. I think Bob was still writing and covering Indiana, or was he done?
He had retired, I think, which was better in 1996. I started in 2009.
Okay.
At that time. Yeah, he started cycled out. But he was still around. I saw him in a lot of games. He was always at his seat. He was always in press row. He was such a legend, and I had known who he was, certainly read about him. On the brain, in the sense of what his legacy was. And he was so good with everybody who was in after him. And just being helpful and reading your stuff and telling them you were doing well and the other things, it was amazing to be around when it kind of thing. But legacy shadow was still very there. Everyone just calls him the Prince of Pliny, and he is from every interaction I ever had with him. But by the time he was By the time I was there, he was doing the business for a long time, but he was still around the sign of presence. And, you know, always meant a lot to me when I got an email from Bob saying, hey, I thought you really did a good job with this. And he wasn't heavy-handed about that or anything. He didn't try to, like, make sure I wrote how he would write or tell stories how he would tell them or anything like that. Once we just get a note saying, hey, I thought you did a really good job. And he was always available for more kind of historical piece to say, like, hey, like, I want to quote somebody who's there around for this. Bob was just terrific at that, always at, you know, giving you kind of insight that nobody else had because nobody saw it as closely or clearly, and his memory was just incredible for just little details of things that might have happened 40 years ago and stuff like that. And he was really something else.
Yeah, he was a, you know, when I was coaching, I coached in, you know, college football for 28 years. And I had a ton of respect for Bill Mallory, just being an Indiana boy and then getting to know him, you know, he was such that figure. I'm sure Bob is that figure to a lot of the Indiana writers that got to be around him, learn from him, you know, all those things through the years. And I've seen already a lot, the X about their tributes to him and what he meant to them and their careers moving forward. So sad day. 88 years old. He lived a great life. And then of course the book that he wrote with Knight, you know, Knight, My Story, number two bestseller. And then he had a couple other ones that he wrote as it went on. So he kept busy. He didn't.
Yeah, he did. He always had stuff going on.
I think you're freezing up on us there for a second. We'll see if we can get Dustin back in here and see if it comes back. The grim. Hey, Dustin, you're frozen up here. So if you could see if you can come out and come back in. I don't know if that's any better. Well, we'll try to get Dustin figured out here. And Dustin, if you can still hear me, if you could come out, go out and come back into the studio, it may help that a little bit. Not for sure, but we can try that as broke up as you much were. Let's see if he comes back in here. But again, you know, we talked about Bob and his meaning to a lot of the sports writers within the state of Indiana. There's no doubt about that and everything that goes with it. But, you know, the Indiana, the Pacers, great year. Hopefully we can get Dustin back in here to talk about it. But let's see if this works. You back?
Yeah, this is definitely a problem on my end.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's internet. My internet's out, and I'm on a hotspot. So if it goes out, then that's why. So my
apologies. Well, that's okay, not a problem. I was just kind of leading into the Pacers and finishing up the summer league at 3-2, and I know you had an article here a day or two ago talking about kind of where everything is at for the Pacers. So why don't you give us a little bit of that? Well, he's frozen up again. Yeah. Well, it may not work today for Dustin because of the hotspot that he's trying to transmit on and not having true internet. I know how that can be because of the bandwidth and stuff, but if we can get him back here, let's see. Are you back now? or can you hear me? Do you go ahead and say something here, Dustin, about the Pacers and the summer league, if you can, and if it's something that freezes up, I'll just remove you from the screen and we'll see what happens. All right. Well, I'm not sure it's going to work for him. As he said, he's on a hot spot, and if he comes back in, we'll try it one more time, but it can be a little bit crazy when you talk about trying to push video through the hotspot. It's not that easy of a thing to do. And I knew something was up because of the echo that I was hearing. Let's see if we can. You go ahead and say something now. Can you hear me?
Am I back? Yeah, this is definitely my fault. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead and we'll see what we can get wrapped up here.
Yeah, let me see. Hopefully this works. So I heard you ask enough about the Pacers. I could just take it. So, it's been an interesting summer league. Obviously, it's one of those cases where they haven't had a first round pick the last 2 years. So they're certainly not going to be, they weren't the central team in Vegas or anything. And when everybody else is playing top rookies and stuff like that, you're probably not going to be in as good shape. In a lot of cases, if you're really good, if your team is really good, your summer league team is probably not going to be that good. The Hornets won the summer league title. I mean, they won 21 games. So that gives you a sense certainly of the state of play there. But I thought the Pacers did a pretty good job going 3-2 with the group that they had. I thought what would really impress me about them is stylistically, they played very close to the way they play with as much as they keep the ball movement, which is much ball movement, player movement as they do, just kind of keep it kicking around. That's not easy to pull off. When you really get about a week of practice with these guys, I mean, basically they got into most of those guys got into Indy, I think, July 4th, basically. So they maybe had 3-4 days in Indy to practice, and then they went to Vegas. And obviously they got a little bit more time there, and you have some time to work in between games and find whatever court you can down there and just try to get some work done. But, it's a lot of guys that have never played before together. I mean, some guys have, they had three guys there that were on two-way contracts, plus Johnny Furphy. So they've got a few guys that have been in the program, a couple other guys that played with the Mad Ants last year. But, getting that kind of precision in a short amount, the finest tuned machine, you still had more turnovers certainly than the big club usually would. But I thought a lot of guys had some impressive performances. Planes for summer league did a fantastic, his designs are to be a head coach eventually. He helped his cause a lot in terms of what he was able to do with that group. Individually, I thought Johnny Furphy, certainly numbers weren't off the charts, but certainly that dunk that he had against the Bulls in that game that you saw probably highlights of, and the one particular picture where he's dunking over, the Bulls lottery pick Noah Sang was leaving his body. But more to the point myself, but it does show you just how physically tougher he's gotten over the course of the year. I mean, Furphy looks like he's 16 in the face, but he put on 20 pounds of muscle. And you saw a lot of growing up from him. Just again, his physicality, his willingness to play with force. I mean, he's grittier and gutsier than looks. Again, he's Australian guy with looks like he doesn't have to shave yet, sort of thing. But, he'll dunk on you. I mean, he's not afraid of going right after you. And you saw that level of physicality. You saw him really grow up as a rebounder this year. He's more willing to play defense. I mean, I think they're waiting to see the shooting come around to be as good as it's supposed to be. I think he only made 25% of his threes. But willingness to finish at the rim and do a good job of getting there, whether that's coming downhill off the bounce or, So I think he did a lot of good things. I thought Ray J. Dennis had some really terrific games playing point guard. I would say right now, Dennis is probably, if you had to play a game right now, Ray J. Dennis is probably your third point guard after Andrew Nembhard and T.J. McConnell. You know, Cam Jones, I think they eventually want him to be that guy. Certainly they invested a second round pick in him, so that's the hope. But I thought he made, he's not quite there as a point guard yet where Dennis is, but I think he'll get there eventually. I thought you saw some good signs in the one game where Dennis did not play and, you know, Jones took the reins of point guard. I thought he did some good things. I think he had 11 assists in that game. You know, you saw just how good he could be off the bounce, just getting into the paint. I think that was really helpful and useful for them. You know, Quentin Jackson played really well in his one game. I think he's still going to got out of Liberty. Did, you know, showed some really good signs. I thought, you know, you got a sense of why they picked him in the second round, where he wasn't a guy that was on a lot of people's draft boards. He's a really super impressive story out of Liberty. You know, had been at Arkansas Tech before that. You know, he's like, he started his career at Tennessee Tech, went down to Division II, went back up, and made a real impact for that Liberty team that went to the tournament last year. So I think they saw a lot of good signs again for a team that didn't have a lot of guys that are going to be on the big club next year. You know, they did some things pretty well, and I thought they got a lot out of it. Certainly, I think it was just good to do anything that created some positive vibes after a super rough stretch between Halliburton's injury and losing Miles Turner. You know, I think it was good for the Pacers just as an organization to do something relatively not relatively well. That makes it sound like they didn't do a lot of great things during the season, but you know, just had a couple depressing moments, frankly, but just to do something that said, hey, you know, life is going to go on. You know, they're going to, you know, have a year and be, you know, put together a respectable club while Halliburton's out, and you know, they're going to be able to put things together and put a team out there that's going to fight hard and win some games. You know, I think that was still a positive for them, even though there wasn't a lot of guys on that team that are going to be impact guys for this year's group.
Yeah, and losing Halliburton for the year next year, you lose him. Of course, Miles Turner heads off to the Bucks in a somewhat of a crazy scenario, I guess you could say, in some respects. Sure. What did their exits really mean? What does that mean?
I'll put it. I guess we'll talk about each. I mean, obviously, Halliburton's the face of the franchise, and not only is it the face of the franchise, like the style of play is built around him. I mean, you know, Rick Carlisle is a guy who, like, he's very good at adjusting to the guys he has and the players he has and building a system around them. And it's built in Halliburton's image. You know, everything that they do on offense, you know, is built around Halliburton's skill set, Halliburton's kind of ethos, for lack of a better term. Halliburton's a guy, you know, going back to when he was a kid, has just always wanted to involve everybody else. And he just believes in basketball played that way. It looks good. It's effective. But I think he just likes the idea of making everybody feel involved. You know, he told me that when he was a kid and they would play in AAU tournaments, you know, like he would make sure like his coach would leave him in when they were beating people by 30. And he wouldn't score, you know, and he wouldn't shoot. Like it was his job right in. It's like he told me, he's like, there's a reason about getting that guy who, you know, barely plays, gets a lot of money, just so he's reasonable. You know, and that's kind of where he had it, like, sure, he understands the importance of feeling involved. He understands the importance of touching the basketball, of your running ahead. And you know, if you reward him for doing that, he's going to keep running. You know, where it's harder to keep that guy engaged if he's bigger, and it takes a lot more for that guy than it is for the guy that's 6'2". So if that guy runs back up and down the floor, if you find him enough, you know, he's going to keep doing it. That's going to keep him engaged and push him, and how their style is, and that's why they were such a tough cover, and what they have been just such an off how Halliburton operates. You throw anybody else in there, just trying to be Tyrese Halliburton. And then, so that's not easy. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to change stylistically, you know, while he's out. I mean, there's certainly some guys that benefit if they play a different style. You know, Benedict Mathurin is a guy that wants to take you on one-on-one. And it's okay with the game slowing down because he wants to show that he can, you know, cook you.
I'm gonna let you go. It's breaking up again, and
okay.
I appreciate you getting through with whatever you can, and I understand there are days where your internet goes out and you have to try to adapt, adjust, and improvise. But hey, I thank you for being here, partner. We'll talk to you later, and appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thank
Dustin Dvorak from the NE Stars. We've kind of struggled through the aspect of it being a tough connection for him, but we understand all that. But you know, I guess what he was trying to say is that they're not going to be the same team that Indy was a year ago and had that magical run losing in game seven to Oklahoma. The Halliburton injury is just a hard injury to replace in what he did for Indy. He was kind of the guy, and I don't believe he said that, you know, everything was ran around him, and understandable. But, you know, they've got some guys that can be suitable replacements in the sense that they can do the things that Rick Carlisle is going to want them to do as far as moving the basketball and getting themselves into the positions to have some shots. And, you know, highly doubt it. They'll have the run that they had this year. But you just never know with them heading into the upcoming season. You know, a lot of time here. They got some games underneath them with some of those rookies. And I know that the G League team will be, I think they're opening a new arena up there around Noblesville or Fishers, I think, that they'll be there for this year's season. Used to be up here in Fort Wayne, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, and then they moved them back to Indianapolis for this, for the, you know, understandable. So when you make call-ups and stuff, it's for a rather simple drive over to the field house there, or if have to catch a flight somewhere, they can get a flight that goes about any place that an NBA team is with a direct flight. So we'll see what all transpires with the Pacers. We're going to step aside for a few. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit here about the Colts, and then Zach Browning will be joining us to talk about the TBT tourney and the assembly ball and get his take on what he expects out of the media day for the Big Ten coming up tomorrow, in which he will be out there with Colin McMahon covering it for thehoosier.com. We'll be all back here in a few, right after these messages here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle. I'm the coach, Shannon Griffith, guest hosting for Jim as he's with or at the Bob Kravitz golf outing today. And decided to step in for him again. Thank you all for being with us and bearing with us through some technical difficulties there with Dustin. I know it can be challenging when we have those type of glitches and connections are not as great, but we got some learning out of Dustin as it pertained to the summer league. The Pacers just finished up 3-2, and seeing some of their draft picks and some of the guys they've had down in the G League and things of that nature. And definitely going to have to pivot away from their up-tempo type of identity without Halliburton, and see how Pascal and Andrew will facilitate in the leadership role and being the guys that can step into that vacancy and at least have some pickup from where Halliburton left off. But again, it's a tough scenario when you lose a player like Halliburton. And we'll have to wait and see. But I think Baker and Freeman are guys that, you know, keep an eye on. And also, they could be key factors when they go through an NBA season of all that. So we'll have to wait and see with everything that's going on. We talked about the NFL training camps opening today for the rookies, with the Colts rookies reporting today, as well as the veterans coming in tomorrow as they kick off a very methodical and long, I think, sometimes training camp, especially with the three preseason games that they play on top of the schedule that they also play when the season kicks in. We talked a little bit about, you know, Ballard's scenario, a little bit of a hot seat there, as this is his team that he's put together through his tenure to date. Steichen may be another one as it pertains to being on a little bit of the hot seat as well. I think Ballard more so than anything is going to have that hot seat get a little warmer if things don't go well for the Colts as they kick off the 2025 season here in a month. The other thing getting ready to kick off is high school football. They as well will be getting ready to start here in a couple weeks as well. Hard to believe that that is even upon us, as the summer is winding down quickly for them, as well as all the school age kids, as we've taken away the start after the holiday weekend. And now things start at the end of July, first part of August for the better part of the state of Indiana. But high school football will be swinging around here as well. The Hoosiers lost a chance of a commitment up here in the Northeast Indiana. Kid out of Northrop, Guilford, wide receiver, four-star player, very good player on a team that's been not very good over the last couple of years. He ended up committing to Ohio State on Thursday. And I guess from what I'm hearing or reading or, you know, things of that nature, took less in NIL money than what other schools were offering to go play for Brian Hartline there at Ohio State. And we'll see. But again, the state of Indiana has been producing some very top-notch college football players here of late that are coming from Indianapolis, Northeast Indiana for the better part, not to take away anything from the region area of Indiana, because they've had some kids coming out of there as well. Indiana took a kid out of Crown Point, Gibbs, I believe. But tough to lose those guys to outside competition when you know they're a talented individual player that could help boost your wide receiver room or whatever room. But Indiana thus far recruiting has done quite well. They are, I think, ranked in the top 30 in terms of their class for the 26th cycle, and within the top 10 in the Big Ten rankings. So I've never seen that aspect for an Indiana team with the class that they've put together here of late. So things there are going well, but it was tough to lose the Guilford kid out of Fort Wayne to Ohio State, but understandable in that regard. And, you know, they lost Fahey to Ohio State, the quarterback out of California as well. And so that's kind of a double-edged sword when you're in the hunt for two talented kids and you lose both of them to Ohio State. And it wasn't for a lack of trying, as we have seen, Sounds as if they offered pretty good packages to both, especially Guilford, the wide receiver. But unfortunately, it just didn't work in Indiana's favor. Coming up here in a few minutes will be Zach Browning from thehoosier.com. I don't know if anybody saw any of the TBT tournament that is going on throughout the country. I believe it's a $1 million prize that the team that goes through all the different stages and ultimately wins it. But the Assembly Hall team unfortunately had an early exit and lost to the Fail Harder 89-76. We'll get Zach's take as he was there covering it for the Hoosier.com, as well as a couple other of the Hoosier.com writers. But we'll get his take on all that from that standpoint. And it was very disappointing because I think there was a lot of, I want to say hope for this group of ballers going into this tourney. I think they were a two rank in their region, if I'm correct. And, you know, we had Durham, Race Thompson. I think Durham had 23. And most had thought they would, you know, had a chance to do pretty well in that. But again, putting it on paper is one thing. Showing it on the court or on the field is another. And sometimes between the white lines, things don't go your way, especially if you don't get great play from your team. And sound like they had some lapses in defense and then some turnovers that were costly. But in the end, I think one of the big parts of any of that with those guys from Assembly Ball was the opportunity to get to come back and you know, see some teammates play again for the old sake. I think Durham was a roommate of Thompson. And so, it's kind of a double-edged sword there in one way. You're there to compete for $1 million with your former buddies and players, and the only last one game kind of takes that away from you and being a part of it. But then you have to reflect on opportunities to do something like that. It's kind of pretty, it's pretty cool when you can kind of reminisce a little bit and go out and play some ball. And, you know, hey, let's face it, some of those guys can still play. There ain't no question about that. Well, I appreciate you all coming and being a part of today's broadcast. I want to thank the sponsors as well, Hard Truth, Anymore Honda, all those that are a part of the Indiana Sports Beat Radio, as well as the stations up in Fort Wayne, 1380 The Fan, The Ref down in Indianapolis, 97.7, and of course, up in the Chicago Hammond area, WJOB. I'll be back on Thursday for the Hoosier Football Tailgate. We're talking the Big Ten season, more importantly, the first three Big Ten matchups for Indiana, which will be Illinois, Iowa, and Oregon. A big 3-week stretch after a non-conference schedule of Old Dominion, Kiowa State, and then Indiana State. But we'll talk those three big matchups on the Hoosier Football Tailgate on thehoosier.com at 7:30. Come join us over there. But for now, I'm the coach, Shannon Griffith. You have been listening and watching the Hoosier, as well as the Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle. We'll see you tomorrow right here in the morning. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.